This is Radio Hangar. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS, your aviation news check-in. Today we're looking up, way up, because something happened over the deserts of northwestern China that the launch industry has been waiting to see for a long time. A private Chinese company called Landspace flew its UK-3 rocket, sent it towards space, and then brought the first stage back down and landed it, upright, on its legs, ready, in principle, to fly again. Here's what you need to know. This is the first time a private Chinese firm has pulled off a vertical landing of an orbital-class booster. And that puts a second country and a non-government player inside it into a club that until very recently had exactly one member. Before we get into what that means, a quick word from the people helping keep this broadcast in the air. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's talk about what Landspace actually did. The ZhuK-3, and you'll hear that name written as ZQ-3, is a two-stage rocket with a stainless steel body. If that construction sounds familiar, it should. It's the same broad design philosophy behind some of the largest reusable vehicles being built in the United States. Steel is cheap, steel is strong, and steel handles the heat of re-entry without the exotic material bills. The company reports the booster is powered by a cluster of engines burning liquid methane and liquid oxygen. Methane is the fuel of choice for the new generation of reusable rockets. It burns cleaner than kerosene, it leaves less residue in the engine plumbing, and that matters enormously when your whole business model depends on flying the same hardware over and over instead of throwing it in the ocean. The flight profile is the part that earns the headline. The rocket lifted off. The first stage did its job, separated, flipped, relit its engines, slowed itself down, and set itself back on the ground under its own power. That is a genuinely hard sequence of events. Every one of those steps has ended careers and destroyed hardware for companies that tried and didn't quite get there. Now, why does this matter to you sitting in a hangar or a cockpit or a driveway listening to this? The headline doesn't tell the whole story. On the surface, this is a story about geopolitics and about competition with SpaceX, and it is that. But underneath this is a story about the cost of getting to orbit, and the cost of getting to orbit touches more of aviation than most people realize. Here's the connection. When launch gets cheap, satellites get cheap to deploy, and satellites are increasingly the backbone of the tools sitting in your panel. Think about what rides on space-based infrastructure for the average pilot today. Your GPS position, that's a constellation of satellites, the augmentation signal that makes your approaches precise. The Wide Area Augmentation System, or WAS, that leans on geostationary satellites, satellite weather in the cockpit, satellite-based tracking and messaging for the folks flying into the backcountry. Space-based ADS-B, the technology that now lets controllers see traffic over the oceans and the poles where radar never reached. Every one of those services got more capable and more affordable because launch got cheaper. And launch got cheaper largely because one company proved that you could land a booster and fly it again. So when a second nation and a private company inside it demonstrates that same capability, the trend line steepens. More players, more competition, more launches. And historically, when that happens, the price of putting a pound of anything into orbit keeps falling. This affects you if you fly with any modern avionics at all, which is nearly all of us now. The long arc here points toward more satellites, better coverage, cheaper subscriptions, and services that today feel premium becoming standard equipment. Let me flag something as opinion here, because I want to keep the line clean between what happened and what I think it means. The reporting from AeroTime frames this as SpaceX facing formidable new competition. I'd offer a slightly different read. Competition in launch is not a threat to the pilot, it's a tailwind. When more organizations can put hardware in orbit reliably and cheaply, the people who benefit are the end users. And in aviation, we are very much the end users. There's a second angle worth your attention, and it's closer to the ground. Launch cadence and airspace are linked. Every rocket that goes up requires airspace to be cleared. Here in the States, that means temporary flight restrictions, TFRs, around launch, and increasingly around landing zones and re-entry corridors. As global launch rates climb, and they are climbing fast, the pressure on shared airspace climbs with it. The Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, has been working for years on how to integrate a rising tide of launches and re-entries without carving up the national airspace system every time a rocket flies. That's a live regulatory conversation, and it's one that will increasingly touch flight planning for pilots operating near the space coasts and the western ranges. This is a foreign launch, so it doesn't put a TFR over Florida tomorrow, but it's another data point in a global trend. More companies in more countries launching more often. The airspace math only gets more complicated from here, and the FAA's approach to launch and re-entry integration is something worth keeping half an eye on if you fly anywhere near the coast. So, what should you actually do with this news? Honestly, for most of us, nothing today. This is a watch this space story in the most literal sense. But file it away. The next time your satellite weather updates a little faster, or a new augmentation service shows up on your subscription, or space-based traffic coverage fills in another gap over the water, remember that it traces back to moments like this one. A booster standing on its legs in a desert, ready to fly again. The barrier to space keeps getting lower, and everything we fly underneath it benefits. That's the story. My thanks to AeroTime for the reporting on the Zhu K3 flight. You can find more of what we cover over at RadioHanger.com. Reusable rockets used to be science fiction. Now they're a competition. What a time to be looking up. I'm Tower. Keep your scan going, and I'll see you on the next ATIS.